This is CliffCentral.com.
Sweet but psycho. It's Ava Max, CliffCentral.com. Friday morning, bitches! Yes!
Sweet but psycho, I like it. Yeah, that's an encapsulating description of me.
That describes a lot of people I know. Sweet but psycho.
Freaking psycho.
All right.
Happy Friday.
Yes, it's Friday morning. Everybody's excited about that. We got George Meany popping in a little later on with an Auto Central update. But before we get to any of that, some emails and some comments. Now, I need to ask you if you have a particular ruling on this. You know, we make decisions here, and of course, everyone implements them in their lives. That's mm-hmm. what we're here for. When someone is on WhatsApp and they delete a message,
yes,
do you hate it as much as me? Because even if it was a mistake, I hate that this message was deleted thing. Like this morning, I'm just looking at our Cliff Central screen here, and Natalie sent a message and then deleted it. Now I want to know more than ever.
Did she send another message after that?
No. She's gone quiet now. And Natalie, this is infuriating, all right? Because I can see you're online. And you sent us a message.
Yes, we can.
I'm obsessed. So when people delete a message, I go, what's that message? Because you want to know. Because you always think it's something either really, really salacious and dirty and disgusting.
Yes, you think the worst.
Very embarrassing or something deeply offensive. Mm. And those are the things we're more interested in, right? So come on, Natalie. Undelete your message and tell us what you really want.
I hope it's not an anti-climax.
It's probably going to be. Yeah.
Messaged you instead of my mom.
Yeah. But exactly. I mean, I still think the funniest story in the whole world, and if you could have deleted messages, you would have wanted to with your aunt.
Oh, my goodness. Those were the old days where you had to go through each individual message that you'd sent on mm-hmm. your Nokia and delete it. And it was about a week after I'd sent it, and I saw it, and I saw a swear word, and I thought, what did I send? And it was to a work colleague. And it said, I'm really sorry for the delay in getting this work done. I've been under some pressure because I've been in hospital because of issues with my cunt.
But it was auto-corrected from aunt.
Oh, no!
So when I did
Hey, those are legitimate issues, you know.
And she was the most conservative woman. She would wear these little hand-knitted jerseys. Anyway, I finally
issues with my
I spoke to her and I said, I'm really sorry about that message. I only realized recently what it said.
You actually addressed it?
Oh, now everybody, sorry to interrupt, but now everybody is deleting their messages.
Oh, no. Oh.
So thanks very much, Kelly, I appreciate
name and
that.
Shame.
And then this one is from Josh. He says, suck my dick, and then he deletes it. I think that's Cock Josh, actually, by the way. Welcome back, Cock Josh.
Cock Josh is
and then
back.
Natalie has replied with an actual message. I know you can't wait to hear this, so we'll get back to Leanne's story in a second. Happy Friday. It was the Epstein article with the Bill Clinton painting, and then you mentioned it. I promise wholeheartedly I will never delete a message again. Thank
okay.
you. Oh. I always feel like I'm missing out if someone deletes a message. Okay, very good. Sorry, back to you.
So, yes, I said to her, I'm really sorry about that message I sent. It was an autocorrect from aunt. And she said, I was wondering, you know, firstly, I was wondering why you would have such big issues with that you had to be in hospital. Secondly, why would you share that with me? And thirdly, why did you have to call it a cunt? Oh, no. How
awkward. That's so good. That is so good. I love it. It's my favorite story. I tell everybody. Even people you don't know, Leanne.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It's just so real, yo.
Yes. It's a tough world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Cunt problems.
Ooh, cunty.
All right. So there's email feedback. You want to get to that, or do you want to start with the news?
No, go on.
All right. First one is from Claire, and Claire sent me a very good suggestion for a book. You know how we share ideas of what TV series you might want to watch and what books are out there and all that kind of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Claire says, hey, Gareth and the rest of you, after talking about Jared Diamond the other day and the rise of certain tribes, here is a good one to follow that. Prisoners of Geography, Divided, Why We're Living in an Age of Walls. The author is Tim Marshall. Well, Claire, mm-hmm. by a sheer stroke of luck and irony, I have that book given to me as a present, and I'm going to read it on your recommendation. It's been sitting on my bedside table for a while now, but I'll get to it.
Oh, wow.
So that's very cool. Sure. Dale says, hey, Gareth, I've had a little think about that lady from South Africa that lives in Hong Kong who was filmed. I see nothing wrong in her actions and emotions. She moved away from an admittedly violent place to a fairly peaceful country. One of her motives for moving was possibly the violence in South Africa, and now she's just been through a protest march where her emotions are high. She was visibly upset from the real violence on display. She declared that she understands the situation but isn't happy with the actions of either side. We as South Africans have become so hardened and normalized violent protest and crime to violent normalized protest and crime that to such a degree that when we see violence, we berate people that don't believe violence is the automatic response to every protest. I feel she gets an unfair shake in this regard. Love the show. Regards, Dale. Dale, you're probably right. You know, it's just, it's so weird when people are exposed to terrible things, they actually have less sympathy for other people who are exposed to terrible things. So maybe you make a very valid point. It almost requires someone outside of all the craziness to go, oh, wow, that's actually a horrible thing to happen to a person. So thank you for that correction. Always appreciate that. We like when you tell us when we've gone wrong and when there's another side to a story that we might not have seen.
Mm.
All right, so on to some news.
We're talking about horrible experiences. A woman who is 30 years old and from Canada, Quebec, is recovering in hospital after falling more than 1,500 meters from an aeroplane.
What?
Excuse me?
So you think 1,500 meters, that's like twice around the field, basically.
What?
Her parachute didn't open.
What the fuck is going on?
Oh, okay.
Her parachute didn't open.
Oh, no.
So she just literally fell out of a plane into a wooded area.
Oh.
And she survived.
Well, that's amazing that you could fall out of a plane 1,000... It's like half a kilometer and a half.
Yeah. She has several fractures, obviously.
Oh, well.
Including broken vertebrae.
Mm.
So, yeah. And apparently everyone watched in horror as this thing unfolded.
God. Well, it didn't unfold. If the parachute had unfolded, we wouldn't have the problem, right? I mean, really.
So she was an experienced skydiver, but
she was an experienced.
Yes.
Oh.
But this is weird. An investigation is underway to determine whether it's a case of criminal negligence.
Uh-oh. What does that mean?
Negligence could be that you didn't check the parachute, or maybe the company that has the parachutes could be investigated.
Ay-ay-ay. Not good.
So the statistics in the U.S. are, out of every 1,536 skydives in 2018,
yes,
there was one injury. So it's about 0.07% of all jumps.
Because your chances of being injured like this are very slim.
They don't mention death, though.
Listen, I mean, you're not going to survive. This woman is so fortunate to not be dead.
Sure. I don't know if I'd rather be dead.
No, you wouldn't rather. You'd never rather be dead. What a terrible thing to say, Leanne. Ooh. You're so insensitive.
This
Imagine
week I was,
the nightmares.
I was reminded of, I think she was from Canada, who came to bungee jump around Vic Falls.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And the rope snapped. It happened like, do you remember that story?
Jesus. No.
That is awful.
But the rope snapped. She fell into the water. She made it out safely, and she says, oh, my gosh, now I want to do it again.
What? Yes, I do remember that. Mm. The bungee jumper. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that. Sorry. Huh?
So? Oh?
Yeah, you need to have your head read. If you keep going back for these things, like God or the universe or whatever else you believe it is trying to tell you, stop doing this. It's not for you. Right?
If you're asking me,
good Lord.
Hell yes. It's, what, only 0.07% of... people who
get injured. But that's a weird statistic because I'm sure that most
die
if you yeah.
Good point. If you want to make it 0.0% of any chance that you would injure yourself or die, just stay on the ground.
I want you to think about what she was thinking on the way down.
Exactly.
I want you to imagine how she was panicking on the way down.
When
she
your life flashes before
she
you.
She thought, this is it. I'm done. Mm. Right? There's no way that this woman was on her way down going, I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it, I'm going to... There's no way. She was the whole way down. She was going, oh, my God, it's all over. Bye-bye, cruel world.
Mm.
You know?
Maybe she was unconscious when she may have lost consciousness.
And that actually would have helped her. But maybe because then if you passed out, your body doesn't tense up
to brace for... That's why babies tend to not be injured in car accidents.
Yeah.
Even if the fall lasted a full minute, that's a minute too long to think. Here's a ground.
It's getting closer and closer. And she fell into a wooded area, you said.
Yeah, foresty area. Hmm. So she probably had trees breaking her fall. But trees aren't
that
cotton
not
wool.
Make it better. No, trees are not cotton wool.
And as I was reminded earlier this week when we were discussing this Vic Falls lady who was jumping off there. And in this case, the people who were, you know, making sure and ensuring the jump probably will go off scot-free because they didn't do anything wrong, unless it was negligence in this case. Mm. But for the lady who bungee jumped, there was nothing, no one held accountable there.
No, you sign off indemnity
and it's just part and parcel.
Well, listen, I mean, you do these risky things. I'm not the most sympathetic person in
exactly.
the world. Like, I don't think, I know this sounds horrible, but these things, you know there's a risk, right? When you do them, you're aware that you could be in some trouble here. I think you should be. I mean, it would occur to me that doing this dangerous stuff has an element of risk in it. And if you go back and you do it again after you've survived something amazing like this, where she really should not have survived, I reckon you got to count your blessings and get out. Like, no, I'm done with that stuff. Thank you. Why must people jump out of planes? Why? We know about gravity. Stay in the fucking plane, man, says Carl. See? That's what I'm talking about.
I even have a problem with being in a plane. Never mind jumping out of it.
Oh, do you want to hear about this? Listen to this. This is a message from T. Nkleki, who says, yesterday I saw Sia at Cresta, looking looking all fresh and young, and my wife couldn't believe how much of a fanboy I was.
What?
It was such a weird experience for me because, you know.
You weren't wearing your slippers, were you?
No, I wasn't. But I was just minding my own business. And this guy, in the midst of the busy crowd in the mall, goes, Cliff Central! I'm like, okay, it's a little awkward for me now.
Good for you, dude.
So I just greeted nicely, though. So, okay, great to put a name to the face.
There we go.
Nice to meet you.
All right, so very, very nice. Hmm. And then this is, hey, Cliff, I've just joined your cunt focus group. Thanks. That's from Daniel. Isn't that nice? Daniel, you are so sweet. Thank you for joining our group.
The cunt focus
group. I mean, how dare you?
We are rife with the C word this morning.
You started it.
Apologies to anyone who's sensitive.
You started it.
It's true.
What on earth is Tyrell talking about here when he says, Jesus, Gareth, you read that number so fast, I had to find it on the website. Why did you stop doing the number songs? I used to remember your numbers from singing. What a dork, hey, but watch. Ooh, I 8-6 one time, my buddy had 5-5-5, and so on, but it sticks. Yeah, we've cancelled, I think what you mean is we've cancelled the number, the phone number, because we were paying for a phone for 5 lines into the studio, like an old radio station would have used, and maybe one would ring, most people would Skype, and most people would send us voice notes.
WhatsApp.
And text us.
And frankly, how much do you use your phone for phone calls? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very old thing. Only old people phone each other.
Hey.
No, they really do. I mean, there's no reason. If you phone me now, I actually get a shock. I'm like, oh, my
You know,
phone's
I
ringing.
Actually, I agree with you. Yeah. I said the other day.
Go, oh, what am I going to do? My phone's ringing.
Yeah. Hello, it's Mildred. I'm 412 years old, and I'm the only person who still phones people on their cellular telephones.
It's actually
I disagree.
It's a little bit of an invasion. I also get a shock when my phone rings. you know, with the WhatsApp, you can gather your thoughts, especially if it's a client or someone that you work with or a boss. You can gather your thoughts before and think, why are they messaging me? Okay, I've got everything, all my ducks in a row. I'll speak to them about this. I'll speak to them about that. But a phone call's like somebody jumping into your lounge while you're sitting on the sofa.
I disagree.
I think
that is the purpose of a phone, for people to phone you.
I know, Sia, but things are changing, and you know, as old as you are, you have to realize, like, we millennials are slightly different to you, and we prefer warning.
You millennials. Someone admitted to me a couple of weeks ago that they text a person first to say, hi, could I call you before they call?
I do the same.
That's a waste of time. Just get about the business of calling me.
Because usually if I call someone, for instance, I've got a friend who's a mother of three. And if I call her, she's undoubtedly going to be busy with one of them doing homework or fetching them from school or going to a soccer match.
And if she's busy, she won't pick up.
Yeah, but it's so invasive. I do agree with Leanne. I don't like it when people call me. Don't phone me. Send me a message and I'll decide. And by the way, while we're talking about phone etiquette and deleting messages and all this stuff, can we not do voice notes over a minute long? Can we just decide that a minute is the maximum for a voice note?
Yeah, I feel like if it's over a minute, then rather we should be having this phone call conversation.
Yeah, then you can call. Then it's acceptable.
No, so in my case, I've got a group of all of us who work together, and
call it what it is, it's a coven.
Instead of phoning each person to tell them how the meeting went, you firstly say, sorry about the long voice note, but here goes.
No, that apology doesn't help anything.
The Leanne Moll coven.
Oh, I don't even listen to something 2 minutes and 47 seconds long. I'm skimming. Just know if you send me something like that, I'm already skimming.
Yeah, and also there's sometimes where if you do send a voice note, I can't always listen to it. Like, it might be in a meeting or something. You know, like last night I was at dinner with some friends. One of my friends lives in Cape Town and she was up here. So she said, let's all go for dinner. Someone sent me a voice note during dinner and I can't pick up my phone and listen to the voice note while I'm at dinner. That's very rude.
Mm.
So I waited until after dinner and replied. But if it was urgent, they wouldn't have got a reply from me. So yeah, we've all got to figure this out. This is the exciting new world of social media and of constant connection and technology. It's got
to
be ruled.
It seems a little random to us, but do you know that if you play a voice note on your phone,
yes,
and then you hold it up to your ear,
yes,
the voice note will stop playing with your microphone.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but still, you can't be told. That's like taking a call during dinner. It's just rude. And by the way, someone here says, and we can discuss this a little bit because it's probably these are the kinds of things everybody's dealing with at the moment. We don't know the rules. But Ruth says, I appreciate a phone call more. I agree with Sia. There is something to be said for a personal call. Sometimes so much meaning is lost in a message. I do agree. You two are spot on. I'm not going to argue with you. But the fact is that also, in amongst all of this, which is true about human communication, it does feel like because of phones being with you all the time, and they're in the bathroom with you, and they're in the bedroom with you, and they're in the lounge with you, or wherever you are, like there've got to be a couple of rules. And I think sending a text message or a WhatsApp is the least invasive way of getting into someone's business. Mm. They can always decide to get to you later or reply to you after they had a think about something. And I'm talking about whether it's business or personal.
But then again, for me, it's an awkward issue. I feel very awkward phoning people.
But you're awkward full
exactly.
stop.
And it reminds
awkward.
Me of
everything
this,
for
you're an extremely awkward
it reminds
human
me
being.
Of this tweet that I saw from Very British Problems, who I follow. And it says, that it's a conversation between two people.
Yes.
It goes, give them a ring. The other person says, I've emailed. It'll be quicker to ring. I've sent a text as well. Just ring them. I'll send another email.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like that.
If there's a
contact me back or a fill in the form thing, I'll rather do that than phone the company.
Really?
Yeah.
It's, well, my final bugbear on this topic. It is absolutely random. It does not make a difference in the greater scheme of things.
Yeah.
It only takes up 3 seconds of a conversation. But for someone who calls me, who already knows I have their number, or there's such a thing as caller ID and true caller.
Hi, Sia, it's Denise.
Denise, I know you. Yeah. I've had your number for years. Why do you have to announce who you are, idiot? Now that annoys me. I'll take a normal phone call over that any day.
Really? It annoys you that much?
Hi, huh? It's Mark. Mark.
I know.
I know it is you.
My dad leaves voice messages. Oh. My dad goes, hi, Leanne, 7:23, Friday, 16 August.
No, you lie.
Permission to leave message. Call me back.
Oh, wow. My mother is so rude on the phone that I actually think she hates me on the phone.
Like, she does hate you.
Well, she probably does hate me. That's a good point.
When you told her to stop smoking, she threatened to put her cigarettes out on you.
She hates me. You're right. It's a good point, well put. She doesn't leave messages. When I phone her, she always sounds like I'm interrupting her or I'm ruining her day.
Yes, Gareth, what?
No, she goes, yes.
Oh, no.
No, seriously. And what is it? Yes. Okay, yeah, that... What? She's always annoyed to hear from me on the phone. I don't know whether that's a her thing, but I feel very awkward phoning my own mother. So I send her text messages. Now, I don't want to have to deal with that.
Oh, my brother has a knack of phoning me at the most awkward times.
But everything in your life is awkward. We've been over this territory.
What's your definition of awkward
time? Well, it'll
time?
Be like as I'm carrying groceries into the kitchen and I'm fumbling with keys and dogs are barking. Mm. Or I'm on the loo.
Yeah, that's bad.
Or I'm busy having a road rage incident with someone.
You see, you guys don't know how to work the system. The mute button is my favorite button when I'm on a call. Because I can do basically anything while I'm on the conversation with you. I could be sitting on the can and I'm talking to you and then there might be
a
little...
So you do that, huh? You get the mute button and you use
that. Then there could be a little splash. That's when I know I'm mute. And then I unmute. I'm like,
Flush the toilet.
Yeah, you mute, you flush, you unmute. Yeah, you were saying...
I hadn't thought of that, you see.
I've had countless conversations like that.
A few more brilliant ideas and messages here. So Cab says, voicemails, those things need to be put out to pasture. I agree. I hardly ever check my voicemail anymore.
Yeah, it's very annoying to actually dial and check it.
Yes, and then...
And delete it, and ugh.
And this one is from Tyrell. Says, I sparked off all this phone talk, and I didn't even want to call. I just wanted to remind you of your WhatsApp number while I was driving so that when I stopped, I could message in. My bad. Oh, and this is 100% better than the old WeChat way. Yeah, so it's 079. It's the same number you've just messaged us on. 079-748-2090, and you can send us voice notes. But no longer than a minute, please.
With peace and love.
Okay, do you want a voice note while we're talking about it? All right, here's a voice note that just came in.
Guys, yeah, I'm not going to say at what gym this was or who the personal trainer was, but I worked at a gym many years ago, and there was a personal trainer that insisted his people training with him do this parachute jump. One of the girls was very hesitant of doing this because she was afraid of heights, but now she was losing weight and feeling good, and she thought, you know, well, let me try this. So they went parachuting. They did that. It's like a 3-day course, you know, with the jumping. And this girl jumped and her foot got stuck in some of the strings going up to the chute. And she was spiraling towards Earth. And you could hear her scream.
You could hear her scream.
As she was coming down. And well, obviously, she fell and she died. If God wanted us to fly, he would have given us wings. That's my point of view. Bloody stupid.
Bloody stupid.
Bloody stupid.
I agree, that's Sean. Yeah, bloody stupid. But Sean, your voice note got on a bit long there, if you don't mind my being critical for a second. Marcus wants to say.
Morning, team. My parents have got the worst habit of phoning to leave a message to say, hi, Mark, please call me. Thanks, bye.
Oh. I hate that.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so you get a voice message and it's, hi, please call me, bye.
Without actually relaying what you wanted to talk about initially.
So you've made me dial the message button. You've made me, you have one new message. You've made me do all of that and delete it. just to phone you back. I would have phoned you back when I saw your missed call.
Talking about phone etiquette, worse than people phoning you without warning is being from a small town and people think it's okay to rock up at your house for coffee whenever they feel like it.
That happened to me in McGregor all the time.
That's George. Well, that happened to me yesterday.
Oh.
I was busy in my study and I heard the doorbell going ding, 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 ding. And I thought, oh, for God's sake, one of my annoying neighbors. There's something's on fire and now they need help or I don't know.
Did you pretend to be Leanne by just standing still?
So I run down the stairs. My dog's barking. I get to the front door. It's my two little nephews.
Oh.
So
they walked there on their own.
Oh, wow.
How cute is that? And they came. They said, we're just here to visit you because we just got back from the game reserve.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So it was really cute. I thought it was awesome. Yeah, I know. I actually was really impressed with them. I hope they don't do it all the time, though.
Yes. My intercom is broken, and I love it. I don't have to get bothered by anyone. If I have food delivered, I leave a note saying, intercom broken, call upon arrival.
My intercom is broken, and I love it.
Horror of an awkward being. Glee in your voice.
Gareth, what is the number? People are really uptight about this morning. This is Gemma. The number is, Gemma, you've just messaged me on it. 079-748-2090. It's the number you just messaged me on. You send us a voice note on that number. That's what we're doing now. Okay. I don't know. It's like, Gemma, what are you? You're retarded? I mean, really? What the hell? Okay, here's another message. Let's listen to this.
I wake up in the morning and get into a moleskinned BMW leather steering wheel, yellow brake calipers, Michelin tires, carbon fiber mirrors, carbon fiber boot, 51 on the clock, decent bar that for that price, and some beautiful, nice looking, and it's a nice looking car. So
I think this
that
guy
would
might
make me feel better.
Okay.
So it's as a car person waking up in the morning and starting
that Alex is clearly
what
deranged.
What is the context?
I've no idea. Maybe there was a message before. Hang on.
Boys, can't exactly say it takes rocket science. There's many things in life that don't
I like this guy. Alex, do me a favor. If you did send this on purpose.
Yeah, if you didn't sit on your phone while you were talking to yourself.
Or your friends on another WhatsApp group. Send me some context for this.
Yeah.
I want to know what the hell's going on in your life.
So speaking of BMWs.
Sorry, all those noises are the new messages coming in. So you can see we're really busy this morning.
Yeah. Speaking of BMWs, this guy in India, 22-year-old, got a BMW for his birthday.
Nice.
From his parents.
That's nice, huh? Mm-hmm.
And he pushed it into the canal.
What?
Into deep water.
Pushed it?
And why did he do that?
Please, I'm not going to stereotype, but please don't tell me it's like for blessings or something.
No.
Okay.
Because he wanted a Jaguar.
That's
in a fit of rage, he pushed his brand new BMW 3 Series sedan into a canal because he was upset that it wasn't a Jaguar.
What a brat.
Yeah, that's really spoiled.
What a brat.
There's some terrible people.
This was
in
Yamunanaga.
Yeah, well, your Munanaga as well. You talk to me like that.
Yamunanaga.
It's not necessary on a Friday morning.
What an absolute brat.
Yeah, horrible person, right?
And he's 22.
What a little
shit. Yeah, I'd kick him out of the house. His family had sold the Innova, must be a car in India, I'm not sure, that they had received from his in-laws to buy him this BMW. And he's still.
They don't want it, men.
Police claimed that the parents say their son suffers from undisclosed mental health issues.
Oh, you think?
No. Well, I think it's Sia's right. He's just spoiled. I don't think he's got mental health issues. He's just a spoiled. Yeah, brat. Well, Jane, you would know. I mean, you can spot a brat from a mile away.
Yes.
Jane Malachi's here. We decided we'd talk to Jane because we only ever speak to Jane when bad things are happening in Alex. And it's been a couple of months. The elections are over, so guess what? No one cares about Alex anymore.
Yeah, no one cares anymore because they're done. They get what they want, actually. I don't know.
They get the votes and then they disappear.
You never
hear from them again.
Yeah, and this morning I saw people talking about Marika and I was like, how can you bring in that back? Like, after 7 years, you bring in that thing again? You want to remind people what's happened after their parents died or what? Like, yeah, I don't understand.
See, I wanted to talk to you because we only ever hear bad things about Alex. But, I mean, are there nice things about living in Alex?
Are there what?
Are there nice things about living in Alex? Are there nice people? Are there things that you get to do that are nice, that make you happy about living there?
I can say I'm enjoying to stay there because everything is cheaper.
Okay.
Good point.
Where do you buy your stuff?
Like, tomato is R5. I can't afford to buy a tomato at the shops, Pick and Pay, wherever, because it's too expensive. There I can see people selling the tomato on the street, putting inside of the plate.
Right.
Potatoes, onion. It's R5. I can afford that.
But what if they've grown it somewhere where a cat's, like, using the sand as a litter box?
You know, my neighbor told me that she's not buying those things on the street because those things, they sleep on the street, and the cats, you know that, Alexander, there's a lot of cats. There's a lot of rats. There's a lot of...
That's my worry.
But it's an ecosystem. I mean, if they're rats, they're cats.
Yeah. You know, we wash them before we do everything. I'm enjoying to stay there because the rent is so cheaper. But yeah, I can't.
Do you think so? I mean, like, is if I wanted to buy...
cabbage.
Okay, so like fruit and veg clearly is cheaper. But other stuff, where do you have to go if you have to buy... like light bulbs and things, because we were talking about that this morning.
Those people, they're selling them. They buy them from Johannesburg CBD, and they come and sell them by R5.
Okay,
you
so
see.
They sell them
R5 a light bulb.
R5.
They buy them in bulk.
Yeah. Okay, one is R5. You see, they're thinking about those people that they can't afford to buy those things, because there's a lot of people that are not working.
But it's not Hong Kong. It's not.
I think it's Hong Kong. Oh, they don't last.
You don't mind.
Just imagine, I bought my son's ball day before yesterday. At night, I had something like pa pa pa. When I wake up, the ball was burst. I'm telling you.
Like immediately.
Like, I was thought, oh my God, what about there's something inside of that ball? And we are sleeping that time. And I had like...
You would have thought it was an explosion.
Yeah. He was so miserable to see that ball. He was like, Mama, you bought this ball yesterday, and what's wrong? You know, I didn't want to tell him that I bought this ball at Chinese shop.
R5.
Which was like R15 actually.
Okay. Well, I was saying something that's not nice about living in Alex. I was telling the team earlier about your neighbor above you who's always making noise.
Oh my God.
See?
So tell me about this.
You know, this guy's drinking a lot, especially on Friday, Babaji. Today's Friday, we're not gonna sleep. The radio, the loud music the whole night. People, they're making up and down the whole night. You know, last time I was so tired. I was like, you know what, I'm tired. I went to knock. First, I knocked. They didn't hear me. Second, I went back. I knocked and I pushed the door. I found a lot of men drinking, smoking. I was like, guys, you're making a noise.
You're not scared, hey? You'll go straight up there and tell
them. No, Babaji, I'm tired. In other words, I'm sick and tired because other people, they can't even say anything to them.
You're not afraid to go up and reprimand them. And what, were they shocked when you walked in?
No, he was like, okay, sorry, Mikey, I'm not going to do that again. Hey, Saturday, come Saturday, because it was Friday.
Makes a noise again.
That's the thing that they
Son
do all
of
the
a
time.
Bitch.
You know what? You can say that again.
Son of a bitch. Get it.
What he's doing is just say, sorry, Mikey.
Right.
And I know because today's Friday, he's going to do the same thing. In other words, I have to know that, you know, if it's Friday, my key is not going to sleep the whole night. You have to make loud music. And there's a lot of friend making up and downs. Other people, they're wrong. Like, they come to knock.
Are there skeberishes visiting these men?
Yeah. Just imagine, I was sleeping around 1 o'clock. I had people knocking into my door. When I opened the door, it was...
At your door, at 1?
It was two ladies. They say, we're looking for...
This guy.
I was like, seriously?
And they had to wake you up.
I have to.
Well, I mean, Gugu was telling us he's got students who live near him, or upstairs or downstairs from him as well, and he's
in
actually
my lady's
he confiscated their keys. He actually took their keys away. Maybe you must do that. Steal this guy's keys.
And?
Well, I mean, maybe you don't give the keys back, and then this guy has to can't get in and out of his apartment.
You think I have to do that?
I think maybe.
Don't forget that I'm staying with those people that are having a gun.
What about? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
If you get in trouble, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Mm. Even if you went to knock into their doors, you must be brave and say, you know what, they can do something to you. But
yeah, especially when alcohol's involved.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe not. Maybe you just keep on trying with this please turn it down thing.
Yeah.
I think when he's not drunk is where you can talk to him and say, please, can you just keep your radio down because we have a children and we are sleeping, we are tired.
It's so inconsiderate.
Yeah.
It is, and that's the whole thing with people who live in close confinement. I know the the apartments where younger people live, people in their 20s or 30s. I know where there are some people who are in their 40s or 50s and they love gospel music. So on a Sunday, you'll be hearing a lot of that.
Boy.
But then tit for tat, because, well, anytime is tea time for me and my boozy friends. So
yeah,
that's what they also
I heard you. I heard you already got warnings from the rest of the governing, what do they call it?
The corporate.
Body corporate.
Yeah. Well, and they also get me standing on my balcony in my gown. So.
That's true.
And if I can tell you about my neighbor. My neighbor, he's drinking alcohol. But what kind of music is playing? Only gospel. Can you believe that? You know, I was thought, okay.
God will punish him.
No, Papa G. You must know that the alcohol people, they're enjoying gospel music. Do you know that?
Sure. You can.
Maybe because you have to be drunk to enjoy it.
Yeah, and he can sing louder. You know, you can see that this guy's enjoying the music. Mm. And the main thing that I don't like about where I'm staying, Papa G, like today's Friday. You know, tomorrow is Saturday, people, they will fight over the line for washing line. Actually.
Oh, you all have to use one washing line.
Baba G,
so how much fighting goes on?
Oh my God.
What happens?
Every week. It's like when you are into the taxi, when the money is short, when you are sitting in the front seat, the taxi driver will tell you, you have to pay my money. You know, Baba G, every Saturday, people, they're fighting over a washing line because other people, they put the washing there. They don't want to take out the washing. Mm. It's going to be there for like 3 days. And if somebody come, he just come and push a washing and hang a washing. You see, when I arrive and go to check...
You all have to... How much space do you have?
We don't have like a lot of space for washing line. So what they told us, they say, if you hang the washing, if the washing is dry, you have to go and take out your washing. Mm. But people, they are no longer doing that. Jeez. Maybe you can just hang your washing today. Tomorrow when you went to the shops, you see stuff like that.
You have to be brave and strong to live in Alex. And every day you're fighting for your little piece of the washing line.
You have to.
My God.
You have to.
All right, well, Jane, we're glad you're here. I mean, like, every day you get in here, I'm always amazed.
Maybe don't be surprised next time when I come with the scratches on my face.
But don't ask me.
And the
kinds of transport that you have to catch every morning to get here just blows my mind.
Mm. But I was telling Pinky
this
morning.
How much does it cost to get here every day?
I'm paying like 8 rand a local and 16 rand to come here. This morning, this taxi driver, you know, Baba G, this taxi, they are so crazy.
What happens?
I don't know that he was like, he was like, though inside the text they wrote, like, in the morning we don't want 100 rand or 200 rand.
Oh, because they only want change.
Yeah, because there's two ladies who have like 100 rand, other one has 150 rand.
Mm.
And they wanted their change. He was like, no, I'm not going to go to the garage. I'm not going to go to the garage. You have to go and find out change. And that lady, she was fighting. She was like, where I can find my change? You must go to the garage and... so we can ask for the change.
But who's meant to have the change? The taxi driver?
The taxi.
Okay.
Oh, no, the taxi driver thinks the passenger.
No, if he doesn't have a change, he must stop at the garage and say, go and ask for the change.
Right.
And this guy went to the garage for change. Baba G, guess what? He was sitting inside the garage. Other passenger have to come out and look for him. Was just
because he was sitting there having a chat.
Yeah.
People don't care. All right, Jane, listen, you're tiring us out here. It's unbelievable. Good Lord, what a life.
I bought a packet of carrots from Alex there by the taxi rank on a Sunday. By the time I was cooking, I wanted to cook them on the Tuesday. Half the packet was like, and I had to throw them out. So I'm done with that.
All right,
I'll support Pick and Pack.
There's Tebogo saying, yeah, those cheap carrots are no good. And this is from Candice, who says, I absolutely love Jane. She's the best. Suburban lives know nothing of the struggle of the majority of South Africans. Here's someone getting political on us. This is Ruth trying to be all liberal, and she knows that, like, how Jane's struggling. Mm. Trust me, you don't have no idea how Jane struggles. That's why she gets in here. All she does is shout at people.
Yes. We bear the brunt of it.
Jesus. You want her, Ruth? You can have... I'll ask Jane if she wants to come visit you.
With pleasure. Pleasure.
George Meany's here.
Yay.
George sent me a message just now about how with Auto Trader, people also don't like calls, right?
Yeah. They like, only 25% of people actually phone.
Yeah. So the other three quarters, what do they do?
Another 25% of them email. I mean, it's not exactly 25, but it's about roughly, it's about quarter half. So 50% of people don't phone or email when they want to buy a car.
They just pitch up.
They just pitch up, and it's more and more prevalent in the younger people.
I am so shocked.
Because you would think with technology, and I mean phoning someone or emailing someone, would appear to me to be a much more 21st century way of doing things than just pitching up. Just pitching up is like 14th century thing. Yeah. I'm here to buy a vehicle.
Exactly. But I think it's anonymity.
Do you have a horse?
And privacy of information. That's what it is. People think they're going to steal their information.
Do you think so? Is that a concern? Like, do you get a lot of communications about that?
Yeah, people think people are worried about their privacy. And we think that's what drives the 50% just pitching up.
Again, I have no problem with Auto Trader having all my details.
So many people already do, Leanne, and that's just the people that you meet at the bar.
Well, I mean, that's
because I've got more than my details.
If you do give us your details, we do actually keep it private. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, that's funny. All right, very, very good. All right, let's get cracking. So what do we got this morning, George?
So you probably know this already. Warning motorists of roadblocks or impending
speed traps
is illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Road Traffic Management Center has...
But people flash each other, for example, on the highway on the way down to Durban or Cape Town. People always flash and say there's a speed trap coming because we all hate the police.
Exactly. But the police are warning that if they catch you flashing...
It is
illegal.
I was checking my lights work.
That's why, to me, though, it's a surprise to see some of these navigation apps warn you when there's police presence.
It's true.
So I don't know how that works.
How does that work? That's a very good question.
Waze, and Waze is...
But it's a that's a community...
They say outsmarting traffic together, right? Now, I mean, that the code for that is, and I know it's traffic is a problem, but we are the traffic. That's why we're on the roads.
Yeah.
What they really mean is, like, let's help you get past all the bullshit.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I love that. I mean, if someone can warn me that there's a speed trap or there's a roadblock up ahead, I mean, I'm not going to divert course, but at least you can be prepared.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I find it helps a lot, especially if you're on the highway doing 120 and there's a sudden braking situation. It helps to know that there's actually congestion there first.
Right.
Yeah, it does. But Waze does warn you about speed traps. But I think it's I think it's people that are putting those locations up rather than Waze doing it themselves.
It's ordinary members and people, users of the app.
And that's how Waze is getting around it.
Sure.
So
there are ways around it.
Leanne.
I've never heard Leanne crack a joke.
Never, ever, never. All right, let's go. This is low-level stuff for a Friday.
And then the SANRAL, or the government, has indicated that they will be spending around 28 billion rand on the corridor between Gauteng and KZN over the next 5 years in order to upgrade the highways and access to the port. So so I think the commercial side of the economy may just start to be stimulated because...
That would be good, but then I'm afraid... Okay, so here's the rule, though. Now, we've all got to sign up to this. If government and SANRAL really do improve that N3 highway to Durban... And it's fantastic. Let's imagine it's great. There are no backups at any...
They're talking about five lanes in some places.
Okay, awesome. Then we've got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to use stuff for free. So let's all agree now, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but if they establish a toll on that road, which they've already got a toll, you have to go to the booths and things, but if they establish some kind of rule where we have to have a little tag, I'll buy one, even if it's just for the trip to and from Durban.
Exactly.
If I can get there and back safely and quickly and the road is good and there are no delays, I would pay for that. And I'm willing to say I'll even get an e-tag if that's what it takes.
I'm still not paying for
this Gauteng shit, but that I'll pay for.
Exactly. So apparently it's going to bring 15,000 jobs over the next 5 years.
Okay.
And there's 8 billion being allocated in the short term. So
all right.
I hope it bloody starts.
Yeah, good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Thank you, George. Yeah. So a little bit of good news this morning.
Very good news. And then you probably know what this chemical is, carbon black. Carbon black is a chemical from burning stuff.
It's just soot. It's charcoal.
Yeah, it's soot and charcoal. But apparently its surface area is quite big in relation to its size in relation to other stuff.
Well, you see, there's so many forms of carbon. Like diamond is a pure form of carbon. And graphite is a pure form of carbon. Most charcoal is reduced carbon. What they've done is they've taken various hydrocarbons and they've burnt off all the hydrogen and oxygen and they're just left with the carbon.
So this stuff called carbon black exists in tires, rubber hoses inside your engine, and a lot of the rubber parts. And researchers are finding ways to use tomato peels and eggshells to replace carbon black.
Wow. Mm.
It's still in its early stages, but have you ever fried tomato?
Yes.
The skin comes off.
The skin comes off, but it doesn't disintegrate.
No.
Oh, that's true. It's also sometimes.
I wonder what that's doing to your insides.
In like a pasta sauce, if somebody hasn't peeled the tomatoes, it's horrible.
So now the researchers have said that tomato peel is so strong that it could replace the carbon black.
That's very good.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. But if you cook tomato, even if you're making like a pasta sauce or something, that skin
it doesn't go.
No, yeah, it stays amazing. There. I wonder what's in there.
So that might just end up in your car, in the plastic components and rubber components that your car ends up.
All right, very nice, George. In it. Look at
Hope
you solving
no
problems.
Tangy smell.
Well, not my problem. I didn't solve the problem. Tangy smell.
What?
Yeah, smell of tomatoes.
And eggshells.
And eggshells.
Yeah, don't be ridiculous.
What does your car know about you, especially in the future? Built-in navigation devices and turn-by-turn directions, smartphone-connected apps, and all these infotainment systems that we are starting to see in our cars.
Yeah.
What information is your car collecting about you in the future?
Well, it knows how fat you are.
Yes, it knows how fat you are because there will be sensors in the seats to know how much you weigh, which means it'll also know how much weight you pick up or lose.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Now my car will judge me as well.
Exactly.
I don't want that.
So the question is, how is this information used? And how will it be used in the future? I don't know the answer to that.
To insult you is what it's, you fat pig.
When you get in, yo, fatty.
What happened to you over the weekend? Yeah. You've been eaten.
Your car will also know who you phoned, who you've texted.
No, I don't know if I like that. I mean, it's bad enough my phone knows who I've phoned and who I've texted.
Where you
Again,
live.
Again, I don't care.
Your car will know more about you than most other people in this world.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
My car already knows how I really sing.
That's
how many times I've cried in the car.
You fart in your car.
How many times I've farted in the car.
People fart in their cars. That's
how
particularly
piggish I look when I scoff fast food down.
Oh, yes. All of that's extremely
You've
sensitive.
You've been scoffing.
So the digitization of the automotive industry is going to bring some privacy concerns, and it'll know when you fart.
Leanne doesn't care.
She doesn't care
about how much your car knows about you.
No, when it comes to personal information, I really...
She's not interested. She'll share it all
you
with
know,
you.
I'm on Leanne's side.
If you want to text Leanne now and ask her personal questions, I'll give you her number.
Hey, you want my phone number? Here it is.
All right. Very good. All right.
That's
anything else? Thank you, George. Very nice, everybody. We've got a busy weekend ahead. I hope yours will be filled with all kinds of fun things, that you have an excellent time, and that you get back to work on Monday and you feel fresh and invigorated and ready to take on the world. Mm. We have no more time this morning, but we'll get to a bunch of other stuff next week. There's always lots in the news, but you can always get hold of us and suggest stuff to us too. If there's something you want us to cover, if there's some guest that you really want. Big fan of Mabali messaged me earlier and said they can't wait for her to make a return next week. She's coming on Wednesday and Friday.
Oh, so I'll see her on Friday.
Mark your calendars.
Yes.
Very good.
Very nice. So that's excellent. Mabali making her triumphant return. And if you want to suggest any of the other stuff, you know how to do it. 0797-482090. Or you can just email us. And thanks to all those people who joined us in our Cliff Central Caucus. That's C-O-R-E. Caucus, because we've established what we are hoping will be the preeminent and most reliable panel when it comes to trying to figure out the future podcasting and other kinds of internet technology and content delivery. So if you want to be a part of that, you know what to do. Get hold of us there too. core@cliffcentral.com. Thank you all very much for joining us. Coming up in a moment, a discussion I had with Stan Katz. He's launched a podcast and he asked me to be his guest. And we said to him, fine, but then we're playing it as well.
Mm.
So he said, cool. Seems so that's fair. What's coming up now. Yeah, you can listen to that on cliffcentral.com next. Have an excellent day. Thank you, George. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Gugu. Thank you to you.
This is cliffcentral.com.